good, everyone, and welcome back to the Nostalgia Soldier podcast. My name is Taylor, aka Nostalgia. As told by Zoe, is not here today. It is just me and Kay Likes Everything. How are you doing today?
I am ecstatic because it's our first podcast alone together. What a treat. How special for this beautiful day.
Amazing. This has been something that me and Kayla have talked about for a minute, just because of the fact that I've been gone twice now, almost three times.
I think so.
And we've never had the chance to have a podcast episode together, just the two of us. I'm still laughing at Zoe texting in the chat.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, y'all are a little too excited to have me on the podcast.
We had to reassure him, you know, give him words of affirmation. Like, no, we're going to miss you. We love you. But this is special, you know. And it's so funny because whenever Andre and I have a podcast together, it's very aggressive. Except for the time that he spoke the entire time about that video game,
Near Automata.
So, like, that one we didn't fight. But he did make me cry. So we didn't yell, but I shed literal tears. But then when you guys have podcasts together, I don't think I've ever heard you yell, even when you guys like would do this alone without me. BK before Kayla. So I don't know. Like today I feel like the energy is just going to be very different in the room, in the studio.
Yeah, I think it's – I mean – I'm thinking back on like me and Zoe doing the podcast back then, like BK before Kayla.
Yeah.
It's like funny. Like we never really raised our voice at each other to argue, but we did. What was funny is I can count on one hand.
Yeah.
How many times we truly like disagreed on something.
Yes.
But it's not like, we're just both like yes men with each other. It's like we just think the same.
Yeah. No, you're definitely not conforming to each other's answers. You guys just happen to be very similar, which is why you guys are besties. You know, it's that special bond. Whereas my love for you both still makes me argue because we think very differently. Even though I would say of the three of us, and like me, I guess, responding to you and Andre, I feel like we're more similar in how we approach things because we'll like we like rev up into screaming. We're like, okay, this is how I feel. And, you know, but yeah, very excited for, especially because today's podcast is like the very happy, lovey, cutie.
Yeah. This one, I mean, Zoe definitely would have. I handpicked a couple specifically because like I know Zoe probably would have picked this couple if he was on this podcast with us.
That's beautiful.
Him doing an episode on the worst couple so he can like yell and scream. It was a good choice. And and starting with that and then, you know, having a very relaxed podcast episode with me and you talking about the best couples should fit pretty well, I'm hoping.
I think so.
So before that, I do want to start with two mini topics before we get into the couple stuff, right? So the first one is when it comes to like anime, like what do you think, Kayla, makes a good like couple, a good anime couple?
This is so hard because as we mentioned in like last week's podcast, I hate toxicity in real life couples and in anime couples, but because anime is basically a cartoon novella. There has to be drama in order to move the story along. So I think it's any, in terms of anime, and I guess kind of in real life, it's any couple that can like overcome any adversity they have, any like fighting they're going through, any of the big drama in their lives, and still make it to be a healthy couple. In all the shoujo that I watch, it's very catered, like, obviously for the girls. And what makes the couples good typically is the main guy character really taking the time to listen and learn and then make sure his person knows they're his person and there's no other girl for him and blah, blah, blah. That's what I think is a good anime romance couple.
Okay. I think mine is pretty similar. I think it's just mostly, I feel like the chemistry has to be good.
Yes.
In different aspects. I know, like, for me, I like, when it comes, I don't want to, like, give away what my picks are already. But, like,
right.
When it comes to how those characters kind of grow as the story progresses.
Yeah.
And they both, like, kind of, like, align similarly as the story goes. And then by the end of it, you can tell, like, that's, like, the main, that's the couple. Or you get into certain romance anime where you kind of can see, like, and this one isn't on my list, but it's like Horimiya, for example, right? So, like, they are two different sides of a social hierarchy spectrum.
Yeah.
And then one has difficulty like expressing themselves fully. The other one, like, not in a school setting, but in like his regular life setting, likes to express himself and be who he is.
Yeah.
And then, like, them coming together and, like, you know what I'm saying, figuring things out and having some kind of misunderstandings along the way, but being able to work through them. And I did want to mention, like, the misunderstandings part.
Yeah.
Just as an aside, I loathe, badly written misunderstandings.
Yeah. Yeah. They hurt.
Written misunderstandings don't – I hate – like, those are just the worst. Because it's, like, logic gets thrown out of the window in a lot of those – romance, like, stories when it comes to, like, two characters that are, like, are just kind of feeling each other out or whatever. Like, all you had to do was just say, hey, this is what it is, and then you could have fixed it. And instead, nobody talks.
Yeah.
And then now we spend 5 chapters, like, where they're apart trying to figure out what the heck's going on with the other one. Like, I hate.
Yeah.
I hate those.
Those stress me out because I'm a very big supporter of communication. When I am uncomfortable, when I was younger, I used to hate having to like communicate because I thought it was always a confrontation. Mm-hmm. But as I grew older, I'm like, it's not a confrontation. If I talk about it, it won't be a fight. So whenever there's like that needless, like, I'm just not going to talk because then I'm going to hurt that character's feelings. And then it ends up being this whole thing where it's like, I just wish you would talk to me. I can't do that for a show or real life. I immediately will talk if I feel there's been a miscommunication.
Yeah. Or it's just like, I can't remember off the top of my head the exact show, but it was like one where it was like the main character is talking to somebody in his class.
Okay.
And like the way the camera is positioned, it looks like he's doing something else. The two of them are doing something else.
Oh.
As the main girl's like rounding the corner. And every then time. The main character turns around and goes, oh my gosh. Instead of being like, oh, hey, how you doing? He just looks shocked, like, oh my God, why is she here? It's
right.
Like, no, brother, just tell her what are you doing?
Oh, well, okay. That's a perfect way to talk about it because, okay. Obviously, we've both seen Ouran High School Host Club and how it's a romance anime that looks at anime romance tropes and uses it to build the story along in a very fourth wall breaking way. That happens. Remember in the teacup episode where the boy and the girl that were engaged to be married, but then he was going to leave the country because of the teacup?
Yes.
That whole plot to get them together was the misunderstanding where she rounds the corner to look at the classroom and it looks like he's confessing his love to our main girl character.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, haha, tricked you. You're in love. And then they end up happily ever after. Yeah, it's a great trope, but it's super stressful and makes me incredibly angry.
Yeah. And then as far as like the way in which the couple becomes, or like the way in which they show the two characters like start to realize each other's feelings and start to grow, whatever. Sometimes they don't do it super well. Two things that I don't really like. I know we're talking about, I know it's like best couples or best whatever, but we're building to it. But I feel like I gotta get what of I course. Don't like out the way first before I can talk about what I actually like. The tripping and falling over the male lead character trope is lame. I'm sorry. Get it out of here.
Get it out of here.
Tomato.
Because let me tell you something. If I fell on top of somebody, I'm actually not even doing the second of like breathing over them. I'm leaving. And you're actually never going to see me again. That's not a cutesy moment.
It's like, I don't know. Also, too, like, I just think it's, I've read and watched so many settings where it's in high school where I think that's what's kind of getting me annoyed about it, because it's the same setup of punchline every time, right? Like,
right.
It's like, oh, let's have a study date. So, no, not even study date. It's like, oh, I need either the male or the female character is failing their classes mightily.
Yeah.
And then the other one.
All mightily.
And the other one's like, oh, just come study at my place. And then it's like the male character's like, oh my God, a study date at her place. I get to see her outside of her school clothes. And it's like a weird, insanely like.
Yeah.
Look, in a high schooler's mind, fine. But I'm 27.
Correct. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm 27. Yeah.
And that's the thing, like, that. You know, I didn't actually put any, or I didn't put mostly any of the older geared anime on here, because I feel like the majority of people, when they refer to like best couples, typically think of like shoujo characters. So I would say that like and I've never seen the anime, I've only ever read the manga, but like Watakoi, for example, or Watakoi, I don't know if I'm saying it right. Yeah. I didn't put any of those couples here, but all of those are perfect examples of older couples that talk, understand, move forward. They don't have those weird like tropes to get together. It's just adults working, being friends, falling in love. And it's very normal. And it's so cute. And I didn't put any of them because I'm like, I feel like we still need to review like best couples. And well, it's the review of best couples to me, like when they first hit me. That's what I put down. So these are older anime.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah,
mine are my, I don't know, one of them's kind of older and the other one I couldn't we'll get to that. I think
we'll get there.
Yeah, like the tripping over, you know, saying each other cared or whatever, not one of my favorites. There was one more that I was thinking of that I was like, I'm not a huge fan of it. I think it was it's on my blinds, but I'll probably come back to it eventually. It'll hit me later on the episode, probably.
It will. And you can shout it out.
I think, okay. So I guess we can go to, like, what, I know we talk about what makes a good couple.
Yeah. Right?
And we talked about, like, you know, just being able to perfectly align ourselves and have good chemistry with each other and, like, the actual meet cute, or even, like, just the gradual progression of their relationship makes sense, and it actually, like, it has a good payoff. I'll just say, that it has a good payoff. Like at the very end, when the reveal is that they like each other, you know what I'm saying? And like, that's kind of what I think that whole deal is kind of what makes a good couple. And then like when they can kind of work through any kind of adversity, I think it's good.
Yeah.
So follow up question. What makes a good romance anime? I know me and Zoe have talked about, me and Zoe have done a romance themed episode. We watched a ridiculous amount of romance anime.
Yeah.
Some good, some bad, some terrible. Like we talked about School Days last week.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about Yamada's First Time, which is equally as bad, but better than School Days.
I don't want to.
Kayla, it is one of, I'll say this. It is a terrible anime. It's a bad anime.
Okay. It's just bad, but it is all around.
One of the funniest anime I've ever watched in my life.
Oh my God.
It is a bad show.
Sometimes that's the way it is. I mean, you know, I love my bad shows too, like Gawk and Handsome, but that's purposely made to be
bad. Yes. Yamada's First Time is just bad.
Yeah.
But like, you can tell that. I think me and Zoe talk about this too. You can tell, random tangent. We can come back to the range eventually.
We both have ADHD at some level.
It's a bad show. But you can tell that the English voice actors were just kind of winging it and doing whatever they want to in the booth.
Whatever fits.
Because they just kind of like made the show way more funny.
Mm.
Like I didn't watch it in Japanese, so I don't know how they kind of approached the comedy aspects of the show. But
right.
in the English dub, the amount of innuendos they provide and nicknames for male and female genitalia and just the act of intercourse. Like that's the jokes from that show.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Like one of the funniest shows I've ever watched, but that show is really bad.
Dang. Well, okay. So as a circle back, what makes a good romance anime? To me, it's the feeling it gives. Like I prefer the cuter romance anime that will have sometimes like a trope or two, but anything that makes me like squeal or make me go like, oh, that's so cute, those are the ones. Which all of these do. I typically like very fuzzy, light ones. Like I don't think either of us put it on our list today, but like Skip and Loafer is a perfect example of a really cute romance anime that is gentle and soft and makes sense. It's realistic. And every time I finish an episode, like I leave the TV beaming, just like, oh, there is love out there in the world. that's what I think makes a good romance anime.
Yeah, I think for me, it's kind of the same thing. It's most like the feeling it gives. And then on like a deeper, more technical level, I think just the presentation or the I think the gimmick has not gimmick and then not in a negative connotation, but like connotation, but the, there is a,
I'd heard something.
Plane. Okay.
It's a bird. It's a plane.
Okay. I can't even see it out my window either. It's just making all types of noise. Good Lord. Dang. Okay.
Well,
we talked about a lot about when in our romance anime theme episode about like, certain gimmicks and certain ways in which they introduce the romance to the viewer.
Yeah.
And I think for me, that has to hit for me. Like it has to be something where it doesn't make me roll my eyes, you know?
Yes. Yes. It can't be corny to the point of like, oh my God, I have to turn the TV off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll say like, there's one show that me and Zoe mentioned that's really bad. It wasn't even in our romance anime thing. It was, what was it called? The premise was some kind of light novel title ish thing. And it was like the girl, the premise is basically like this boy sits next to this girl in class who he thinks is really cute, but she's like kind of klutzy and doesn't ever wear her glasses. So she's like half blind.
Okay.
So basically the entire show is like him like basically helping her through class.
Yes.
Because she decides to go. She's very just is aloof and doesn't ever.
Right.
Oh, what is the name of that show? I feel like I need to text Zoe and be like, yo, what's the name of that
I show? Feel like I know. And it was yet.
Oh my gosh. Okay. No. Cause I know.
It's gonna
I remember
hit me eventually.
I remember the production company was GoHands, and GoHands has a reputation for being really, really experimental, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
And not in a good connotation, a bad one. They're very experimental.
Right. Well, I can't find. I'm literally looking. I'm like, because for a second I thought it was the one about the girl who can't speak, like Miss something or other, can't speak.
No. Are you thinking of Komi Can't Communicate?
Yeah.
You don't like that one? That
show? I've never seen it. No, I've never seen it, but I thought that's what you were talking about, but then I was like, I don't think that's it.
That one's actually good. Like because the way in which they present that, like the gimmick, which being like Komi is this stoic character that everybody thinks she's like super mean or very just like they admire her, but they think she's super mean.
Okay.
And because she doesn't really talk to people ever. They think she's very like, she has this air about her that's very like ice queen type. But in actuality, she has crippling social anxiety and doesn't know how to talk to people.
Wow.
And so her goal by the end of her school life is to make 100 friends. And the main character, the boy main character, I forgot his name, he's helping her make friends. But they also, like, start to like each other, if that makes sense.
Ooh, okay.
So, cute. Like, that, the gimmick and the – or gimmick – like the way they present the romance in that show makes it works and it's very cute, and it works really, really well. The show I was looking for was The Girl I Like Forgot Her Glasses. And
The Girl I'm looking it up real quick.
Zoe, if you are listening to this podcast episode, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This anime is garbage.
Oh, yeah, I see. She, like, scowls all the time.
Yeah. And the main character thinks that she doesn't like him because she scowls. But in actuality, she just never brings her glasses to school, and she can't see.
And she doesn't know about contacts, or she just chooses to have a headache all the time. I don't know.
I just.
Interesting.
The presentation of that romance, of the presentation of, like, what the premise of the romance is about, I just, it doesn't work. Like, that's the only thing you got to go on. Like, how can you really build the relationship?
Right. Yes. You know? I agree. This is just, that gimmick is being used to sell the idea or sell moments of them having to, like, get close.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's definitely, they're like, okay, if she doesn't have her glasses, she can reach out to for her pencil and she touches his arm. Like, that type of vibe is what I get from it.
Yes,
never seeing it. You have to be pretty successful, like, in your art style and the way that you are approaching it
to win
me over if you're using those tropes. Otherwise, meh.
And then I'll just kind of leave it here so we can get into the main topic today.
Yeah.
My favorite romance anything.
Mm.
Well, I do have two, but one of them has taken the top spot now.
Mm.
Because of the fact that the premise is good and, like, they just do a really good job of making this a really good anime couple. And that's Blue Box. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
We talked about it. I need to see it. I just have not done it.
I read this on a whim. So, like, it's in Shonen Jump.
Okay.
And every Sunday the chapters come out. And I was like, I just don't feel like reading Jujutsu Kaisen and getting my heart broken again with all these deaths.
I
need some kind of TL cleanse, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, Blue Box is fine. Like, what kind of drew me is, like, oh, the main girl in the show plays basketball, or plays in the anime, in the manga, plays basketball. It's like, oh, it could be like a sports drama with some added romance. Let me check it out.
Yeah.
I am fully invested in this relationship.
I care deeply about if they end up together and never break up.
Like, they do. It is remember the joke about the same roof romance that we made, like, way early back? It's that.
One of our first ones.
Yeah, one of the first ones. So, like, it doesn't start. That's not the gimmick. What I think is important to know when people see that. The gimmick kind of is, like, I forgot the main character's names. Hold on. Give me one second, because I'm going to.
No, do your thing.
Blue Box characters.
And there's a lot of anime that start with blue. With Blue Lock. Blue Box.
Blue period.
That'd actually be a really fun episode. Just try to find, like, titles that all have, like, colors. And we do, similar, like, a colors. Rainbow series. Future thought. Future idea.
Future idea. Okay, yeah. So, Taiki is this – he's a second year? Yeah, he's a second year in high school.
Okay.
Up-and-coming badminton player. Like, he's very dedicated to his craft, and he shows up every morning really early in the morning before school to work out and practice his game, right?
Yeah.
At the same time, a third-year girl named Chinatsu.
Ooh.
She also comes in early in the morning to practice her basketball skills.
Yeah.
And so the two of them never really talk to each other in the mornings, but they always like notice each other in the mornings because they're working out.
Love that.
And so eventually they start to kind of, you know what I'm saying, talk to each other and, and kind of gather this like rapport as friends. And then all of a sudden it just so happens that Taiki's family is really close with Chinatsu's family, and Chinatsu's mom and dad have to move for work. So Chinatsu,
I love those. I love
wants
those.
To stay.
I love that.
She wants to stay in Japan with her friends to graduate. Mm-hmm. And so she decides to move in, and now Taiki and Chinatsu are moving, are living together.
Wow, but, love that.
And they start to develop these feelings for each other, and then by the like they do end up starting, like they do end up becoming a couple.
Okay.
And it's like one thing is like, well, we gotta make sure we don't like it's we'll make it don't wanna make it weird because we're living in the same house. Also, like Chinatsu's a third year, she's gonna graduate soon.
Right.
I still have 1 year left of high school.
Right.
So like we got to figure out how that logistically is going to work. You know what I'm saying? There's like stuff like that.
Yeah, and yeah, there's layers.
It's layers. And then there's like there's other characters like Hina and Kyo who are like secondary characters, but they kind of develop their own kind of
I love that.
Like ship or whatever.
Yeah. And
where I'm at in the manga, I don't think that they've gotten together, but you can tell
they're getting there.
They're getting there. Yeah, it's love like that. It's a couple of the characters where you can tell like
yeah.
Things start to kind of form. And like they almost lost me though. They almost I thought they were gonna go with the harem route at first because a couple of the characters
were
showing
to
up.
Turn off the TV,
and I was about to stop reading. And then Taiki was like, no, I only have one person I rock with. I don't want anybody else. And they were like, okay, fine. And then they were hurt for a little bit and they moved on to other people, and I was like, I can keep reading.
Yeah, I can keep going. Thank God. Love that. That's so good.
Yeah,
so it's on my list.
That's on your list now. Yeah.
It's been on my list for a while because my friend Johnny was like, Kayla, this show was made for you. You need to watch it. But I've been watching so many other things and trying to like stay focused on one anime at a time, because I notice I'll like start a bunch and then takes me forever to finish them all.
I do the same thing.
It's such a problem. So I'm trying to finish Mob Psycho so that I can move on. I still need to finish A Sign of Affection. I still need to finish there's a few that are on my list that are kind of open and waiting for me. But yeah, let's hop into best couples. And I know that I went first last week with the worst couples, so I think that you should start today.
You want me to start? Okay.
Yes.
So premise, some of these, let's see, one, two. Oh, only two? Okay. Yeah, only two. Two of these are not from romance anime.
That's totally fine.
And the first one I'm going to go with is Winry and Edward. From Fullmetal Alchemist.
They're on my list. Because correct. You can say your reason and then I will tell you mine.
My reasoning is I think that like what I talked about, what makes a good couple is their mutual growth.
Yes.
And then like them coming together by the end of the series, right?
Yes.
And you can tell always tell that those two were going to end up as a couple, not because it was like the typical blushing of the face or the like one longing look at the other. They had some of those like in the later stages of the anime, but when they first were introduced as characters, like they bickered and fought all the time, and I in my head I go, that's the end of game couple.
Exactly. It's so true. I mean, Winry always made sure that Edward was in line, and she took care of him, and she's so cool. You know what? I think we need to add this to one of the kind of reasons why or what makes a good romance anime couple, it's if the girl is well written.
Yes.
When the girl is not well written and it's just the dude projecting onto her.
Yes.
I'm out. I'm out the game. She's got to have personality. And Winry does. She is so cool. And the reason why they were on my list, besides the fact that I love how their friendship grew and that ended up turning into like a different type of love, the way he asks her out, basically, yes. Like he's about to leave. And it's kind of like, we're together. Like, you're just like, we're boyfriend and girlfriend, just be mine already. And she's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I'll see you when you get back.
The equivalent exchange line, yes. I go, oh, my God.
I remember the first time I saw that, I paused the TV and was flabbergasted. And I was like, no man will ever love me like this. I will never know someone who is literally just, give me half of your life and I'll give you mine. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I saw that and I go, will I ever love somebody that much? That's crazy.
And I don't think I've ever have loved anyone that much, but I'd like to. I'd like to get there.
Like, dang, is it that serious? Like, half my life for half of yours? Like wow. That's
a lot. That's commitment. That is the top of the commitment. That's bigger than any wedding or wedding ring. Half my life. Pookie, I need this, but I'd give it to you. No. In love. Love them. They are so good. great first choice. Speaking of that same anime, I had a couple from there that are extremely important and older. It's Sig and Izumi.
Yes.
Izumi and I love them so much. Not only because Sig is this giant, silent, stoic type that just, I'm like, that's a perfect man. He just cares about her. They went through hell and back with mm-hmm. with their child dying and everything that happened. Sorry if you've never seen Fullmetal Alchemist before. Spoiler alert, but you know, it's been out forever. I'm sorry. They are so sweet and gentle and understanding. And all the scenes where they're together, you can just feel like they're a real life couple.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just settled into like, we have each other forever. And that's beautiful. Like, stab me in the heart, because I think, I think they're so sweet and I love them.
Yeah. I think, Izumi is a great, again, it just comes back to great female characters.
Correct.
If they're written well,
she's
then it's going to work.
So cool.
And I'll say, you know, the fact that Fullmetal Alchemist, if I'm not mistaken, is written by a woman.
You are correct.
So that kind of is a prerequisite to having good female characters. It's just
it definitely helps.
It definitely does help.
Yeah.
I wonder what was going through her mind when she wrote the equivalent exchange line. I was like, I wonder she was like, oh, I'm cooking with this.
Literally, she must have been like, these people are gonna cry and it's gonna be so good. and you know what? You're right. And you're correct. And it's so funny because I have a friend who was in a 10-year relationship. Unfortunately, they're not in a relationship anymore. But, you know, we've talked about him sometimes. And I'm like, man, I don't think I've ever loved anyone as much as you've said that you love this boy. And that's kind of beautiful to, even though it's extremely sad, it's beautiful to feel that level of love, even if it is love lost.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why I can't watch too many romance animes in a row anymore, because then I feel very, very, very extra single. And I'm just like, I can't do this.
Yeah,
let me watch
some Solo Leveling or something to get rid of it. You know?
Right. I got to get like some stupid, well, not the Solo Leveling is stupid, but I got to get some just like boys hitting boys shows so that I can bounce back. Okay. Love that.
My second one, and this one is, depending on who you ask, I also have some reservations about it. It could be either a bad couple or a good couple. And okay. It is Yusuke and Keiko from Yu Yu Hakusho.
So I've never fully seen Yu Yu Hakusho. I've only maybe seen 3 or 4 episodes. And I know it's a crime because it's from the era of anime that I love most. I mm-hmm. would say like that very specific art style, like that and Inuyasha are just so close. Mm-hmm. But tell me why they're such a great couple so that I can be encouraged to watch.
Yes. And I'll lead with this. I'll say that Yu Yu Hakusho, if you know me, if you listen to this podcast enough, this is my favorite anime of all time. This is my personal favorite anime of all time. And so
more than
Bleach.
Wow.
I have watched, this is my white noise, I don't have anything else to watch show. Okay.
Yes.
So Yusuke and Keiko is a funny kind of story because it kind of reminds me a lot of Winry and Edward, where Keiko is this very like headstrong character that likes to put Yusuke in his place and make sure he falls in line with what he's supposed to do. Like she's presented as this like very pretty, upstanding girl. Like she's the head of the like school council, and she's like she's a class representative and people are always like confused as to like why she always hangs around Yusuke, because he's a delinquent, he skips class, he likes to get into fights all the time, he's part of like, he's just not a model student, and so people just kind of like don't understand why she's always with him. But you can tell early on based on those context clues that she might have a little bit of, you know what I'm saying, something for him.
Yeah.
And they grew up together. They were childhood friends. And then like, there's like a flashback like in the later seasons where like Yusuke as a kid it was a scene where Yusuke is at Keiko's dad's like restaurant.
Okay.
And Keiko's dad jokes and was like, I don't know why you're so mad at Yusuke. Boom, boom. Don't you remember when Yusuke said that he was going to marry you when y'all were kids? And so like that's kind of, it's like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right. Where things start to get a little rocky in their relationship and where people might not say it's a good couple is because this is a shonen story. So the shonen battle story takes precedent over the relationship building in the story.
Right. We have to make assumptions that things are happening behind the scenes. Right,
exactly. Yeah. But at the same time, though, this is why I love Togashi as a writer. Mm. Because he also did Hunter x Hunter, in case people that didn't know. This is why I love Togashi as a writer. Because he makes that a point in their relationship. Where Yusuke is so involved with like saving the human world from people from the demon world. And he doesn't really see any more purpose in his life besides fighting and violence. He tends to like brush off his responsibilities or brush off his feelings towards Keiko and like kind of leave her high and dry a few times to go handle something that is, I mean, by all means, like the fate of the world rests in his hands and he has to go deal with that.
Right.
But he stands up Keiko at a date multiple times. Like he,
those are rough.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. He stands Keiko up multiple times. Like he doesn't necessarily lie to Keiko in any way, but he kind of just at first doesn't really tell her exactly what he's doing. Like, but like think about your significant other coming up and telling you that he is the spirit detective that has to stop all these demons from coming in and ruining human world. Like imagine somebody telling you that. You know what I'm saying?
Number one, I'd be like, demons. but it'd be very much, we have to think about like how I mentioned Kagome and Inuyasha last week, where it's like, do they make it in the end? Yeah. But did that girl suffer? Yeah. She could have left.
Yeah.
She could have left. But because we are with the main shonen boy, we press on.
Yeah. And I think that Keiko never really suffered like personally because of his actions. Like Kagome definitely suffered. I think like, and it was easy for Keiko to be like, okay, well you're doing this whole thing. I don't want to be involved with it. Right.
Okay.
But She's constantly with him during times of peril. She mm-hmm. decides to go to Demon World to watch Yusuke participate in the Dark Tournament. And she is with him during the Chapter Black arc, like in one of the final arcs. And then
okay.
there's a scene in the final arc of the show where mm-hmm. Yusuke has to go to Demon World to participate in this other tournament, right? Mm-hmm. And he does not know when he'll be back. And he explains okay. to Keiko, like, hey, like, when I get back, like, she's like, you're just going to leave me and you're just going to go off and because you don't have any other purpose in your life besides fighting and right. boom, boom, boom. Like, she's kind of just telling him about himself a little bit.
Yeah.
And she's like, why would I? Like, he's like, I don't know. I don't think I need to wait on you. Boom, boom, boom. She's like, what's going to happen when you get done with whatever you're trying to go for? And he goes, yeah. oh, we'll get married when I get back. And she's like, you're out of your mind. Boom, 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 yeah. boom. Like, whatever, whatever, whatever. She's like, then she leaves with like, when you get back, I'll introduce you to my new boyfriend. Boom, 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 boom. And so then at the right. end of the arc, right? At the end of the arc, they kind of flash forward a little bit to when everybody's back to Human World. Mm-hmm. And you can see Keiko walking and all her friends are like, Keiko's never talked to a single boy. Like the boy tries to confess to her and she's like, no. And then her friends are like, oh, Keiko's never accepted any boys or talked to any boys. She might have a secret boyfriend that nobody knows about. And then it's aww. Which kind of gives you the indication that like she still holds these gay.
Yeah.
Very near and dear cute. To her. And so I think it's a great couple, even though they do like the shonen
yeah.
battle fantasy takes precedent over that relationship, but they write it in a way where that is a clear indicator.
Yeah.
Like it's written into the story, which I think is really, really cool. So
yeah. No, I love that. That's on my list too. There are so many of these that are just on my list. Okay, so I'm gonna say some of mine out of order because I mean, not that I have to reveal that, but I think because it's so shoujo and it's literally made to be this perfect in every way, I would be remiss if I did not mention Rinko and Guda. I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but they're from My Love Story.
Is he like the big
hulking
guy?
Big man, large gorilla like man, and yes, the girl is like short. She has Rinko. She has cute little like orangey pinkish hair.
Yeah. I've never seen it. When I was doing some research on finding some extra couples, more than yeah. the ones that I had, that yeah. was always a mainstay in the top like 10 or whatever. Yeah,
this one holds near and dear to my heart because number one, it is so sweet, like give me cavities sweet. It's very good, but it's also one of the few anime that my mother and I have watched together fully.
Oh,
my mom does not really watch anime. But on occasion, you know, back when I was younger and living in her house, it was very much just like having a little moment where like I'd watch one of her shows or I'd watch one of her novelas and I'd be okay, like now it's time to watch something with me. And it was particularly cute because we were sitting down and we're watching it and she just kind of like did this like really cutesy sigh and she goes, he reminds me so much of your father. And I was like,
oh my God.
And it was just one, I mean, hilarious because he's this big, big, scary man, which my father isn't very tall, but he's a big guy. And, but he's so sweet and so considerate of the main girl character that I'm like, man, like, it's just sweet to know that, like, they're like all in love like that still. Like, it's mm-hmm. very cutesy. And now that my brother and I have left the house, it just makes me happy because my parents recently were like, we miss you guys, but we're enjoying each other. And I'm like, I want to throw up and jump off a bridge. Because again, this all encompassing a thought of like, am I going to find love like that? They're very cute. So, My Love Story just means extra to me because my parents are those two characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like, that's so disgustingly cute.
Yeah.
I highly recommend.
When we do the romance anime is exhausting reprise episode, because I feel like we need to do that again.
Yeah.
I feel like we can bring My Love Story in. Yeah. I feel like Nisekoi, is that what it's called? I feel like we need to bring that one in too. I feel like that was a very...
Why does it sound so familiar? Hold
I
on.
Feel like that's like, I feel like that's like the flagship romance anime.
Nisekoi romance anime. I don't know if I'm spelling that right.
Is it Nisekoi false? Is it false love is what it's called?
Something like that. Yes. The girl with the little two. Okay, I've never seen that. I've seen like an episode or two, but I've never watched the whole thing. But I know this anime. The art is very not particular. It's I've seen the art style before, but like all their outfits are like grained in my brain.
Yeah. I feel like we'll definitely bring My Love Story in that one, and some other ones we can probably bring in. I don't really want to watch any bad ones. I'd rather watch good ones.
Yes, like let's just heal ourselves and watch good ones.
Oh boy. Okay. So this is one that me and you both agree on. And it is Yuki and Itsuomi. Is that how you say his name? Itsuomi from A Sign of Affection.
Oh, absolutely. 100% without a doubt. This couple is so healthy.
Yeah.
And they're so cute. And they're just chilling.
It's just,
he learned sign language for
real. That's what I'm saying. That's the biggest thing is the fact that like he is probably the biggest green flag you could ever see on screen.
Correct. No, a walking green flag who is so hot. The hand tattoos. I can't. But he's anyone who chooses to learn a language because you want to communicate with a person that you find attractive and you just think that they are good people. What a green flag. I can't.
Yeah. And I'll say he does a good job of like learning her language and like trying to immerse himself in how she deals with stuff on a day-to-day basis without being like overly, without being ableist.
Yes. And he pulls her into new experiences all the time that she was afraid to experience before because, she couldn't hear, but she just like, what's the name of the other guy who can sign that doesn't want her to be with him? He tries to keep her in a bubble and not let her like explore and see and experience new things. And the good thing about the main boy is that
it's Oshi.
Thank you.
Yes.
But yeah, like he holds her back, and the other character, the main guy, propels her forward, and that's beautiful.
I do think with Oshi, I think I saw somebody kind of break down his character, and he also is in love with Yuki, but just it manifests in a very different way than Itsuomi.
Yes.
And it's basically all the things that you kind of said. Like he is in love with her, but he basically tries to like shield her from the cruelties of the world.
Yeah.
And like he's like he feels like he needs to be the one to kind of like protect her from things out there. And Itsuomi is like, nah, like I can protect her, but she needs to experience these things because she's a human being. She's not like she's not a child, essentially.
Yeah, she's not a ceramic doll. You can't be afraid to drop her is the thing. And it's I can't be too general, but no woman that I know wants to be held up to that standard where you're like, where a man is just protecting her 24/7, 365 and doesn't let her like explore and do things and try new things. And that's not living.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But great choice. And yes, we do both agree. Okay, this is it's an older anime, but it's an anime called Kaicho wa Maid-sama, and it is about this girl who's a class president.
Okay.
And the school has a rule that people cannot, if you're a student, you cannot be working. But she has to work because she either, I can't remember, it's been so long, but she either has moved out of her house or her parents need money. I believe she's moved out of her house from some family issues. So she has a job at a maid cafe as a maid.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very like sweet there and has like her, the whole cast is very fun. But the main boy, her name is Misaki. The guy whose name is Takumi, he is the smartest boy in class. And she is always having to study extra hard when to him it comes naturally. Mm-hmm. And he takes a notice to her because he always sees her being the best she can be. But he was like, she's just like a straight A student. Like, there's nothing more to her, until one day he ends up going to the maid cafe and sees her. And that makes their bond happen because she's like, oh my God, you saw me. You cannot reveal me. You, my arch rival, you cannot reveal me to the school because then I won't be able to make money. And then I can't, you know, live on my own, blah, blah, blah. And he is such a pain in her butt, but he's always doing things for her benefit, like for her behalf. He's always protecting her, but in a good way, like he still lets her do what she needs to do. She's a very well-written female character. She's tough stuff, and they're just so sweet. And you should see, like, his hair is so pointy. Like, it's one of those older anime that's like so specific and it's so pointy, but it's so good. It's nice, it's crunchy, it's fun, it's romantic, it's a little sexy, like it's just a good time.
Yeah.
So I always look at it fondly.
That's nice. I'll definitely give that one a look too.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good one. This one is specifically for Zoe. If you are, I think honestly the last two might be for him, but if you are listening to Zoe, so I will, I hope you pog when you hear this one.
almost spat out my water.
Yeah, my pick is Mai and Sakuta for Rascal Design Dream of Buddy Girl Senpai.
Okay, whoa. I don't know. Hold on. Say okay. The title again, because you went,
Senpai.
That's all I heard.
And Sakuta from the anime Rascal Does Not Dream of Bunny Girl Senpai.
Rascal or Does just, Not Dream of Bunny Girl Senpai.
Or just Bunny Girl Senpai for short.
Got
That's
it.
That's how the thing, how the anime is. And it is a anime I feel like you would also like, Kayla.
Okay.
Even if
I know
title,
that I've seen the manga for it at Barnes & Noble's.
Even if the title is a little bit weird and off-putting, because it is not really about bunny girls at all, to be honest. It's like this one character is, I don't know if it's, I think it might be Sakuta is the guy. But he is basically kind of like not tasked, but he's kind of just like put in a situation where he's basically helping out a lot of high school girls get over this like weird, like mystical phenomena that has to do with like adolescence and getting older and like being a teenager. It's like they basically take like a very mystical, like they take the concept of growing up,
yeah,
right, and make it this like weird mystical disease syndrome thing that kind of like manifests in real life. Like Mai is like the first girl he encounters and they end up becoming a couple. Mai is a, like, she's on magazines and she's on, she's like a model and stuff.
Okay.
And I think, I can't remember her exact like disease, but it basically, or like her adolescence issue, but I think it has something to do with like being a public figure. And so nobody truly knows her. They just kind of see her on, the screens and like the magazine stuff. And so eventually how that manifests itself in the real world is people just forget that she's there. Like she becomes this like a ghost.
Background character. She can do whatever she wants.
No, she becomes like a ghost. Like people just don't know, like acknowledge her presence. Right.
Dang. Crazy.
And so Sakuta is kind of like, it kind of helps her through that, and you know what I'm saying, gets, and they end up becoming a couple. Like he also helps like with other stuff too. Like there's, I don't remember if it's his sister or a different girl, but like this one girl is getting like cyber bullied, but every time she gets like a, sees a hateful text or like a mean comment, they manifest as like scars on her body.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah. So like, it's like stuff like that where he's helping out these girls work through
these
issues
okay.
of adolescence. But the main couple is Mai and Sakuta, and they, I think to know, like for Sakuta as a character, he's a very blunt individual, and he's just kind of say what's on his mind. He doesn't really take the time to filter out what he's saying. Okay. He kind of just off the cuff just says what's on his mind, whether that be something that's really nice and considerate or something kind of lewd and vulgar to Mai. It's always genuine from him. And then Mai and Sakuta do a good job of like their banter back and forth is really good. Okay. And their chemistry is great.
Yeah.
And they crack jokes with each other all the time. And it's like, that's one of the reasons like why I mentioned like the chemistry part of a good anime couple, because it's like, don't just give me like really cutesy dialogue that's just kind of like,
give me more than that,
very heavy-handed, and it's then like it's very obvious that you're trying to make these characters, you know, saying be a couple. Like no, like have them be a couple. Like
yeah,
in any relationship I am in or want to be in, like healthy funny banter is something that I would look
correct.
For and correct. You see what I'm saying? And like it's not are all of 99% of our conversations aren't just going to be like, oh my God, I just love how you do this and you're just so this and you're blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's like, no, it's like we're going to have regular conversation as humans.
Yes.
And there might be some funny back and forth between the two of us. That's just kind of how, you know, saying the relationship goes. And so that's why I think that they're a great couple, just because they have such great chemistry on screen.
Yeah. That sounds really cute. I may have to give that a watch. You're just gonna send me your list. That's what I think.
For sure.
Okay, this one is an anime that I mentioned last week. Whereas there is an unsuccessful couple over there, this brings me immense joy, which is why I've seen Fruits Basket 1 gorbunglian times. Kyo and Toru.
Yep, I knew that was coming.
Are. The amount of Kyo merch I had in middle school should be studied by scientists.
Is he like the? Because I did tell you I did watch Fruits Basket a little bit. I watched 10 or so episodes, I think.
Okay.
Is he the one that's like the red haired guy? It's like super like a tsundere. Like is he mean kind of at first? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So the story goes. Is that it's like I mentioned last week, it's about the different Zodiac characters, but there is no cat in the Zodiac. There is a cat in the Zodiac, but it loses to the mouse. The mouse doesn't invite the cat to the party into which all of the Zodiac characters are given their months. So the cat doesn't belong, and it is the curse of the family. That every so often a cat will be born, and that's just, it sucks. And everyone in the beginning is always rooting for Toru and Yuki to be a couple, because Yuki's this very prince-like, soft-spoken, gray-haired character.
Yep.
And
yep,
I was
yep,
like,
yep.
Yeah, you're cool and all, you rat. But I always love an underdog, and Kyo he's just misunderstood. And all of his anger comes from the fact that he has been treated his entire life like a reject, like a curse. And the anime, at least I've only ever seen the original. I need to rewatch the rewatch, because apparently it finishes like the manga. Mm-hmm. But in the original, it stops and it's just assumed that they are together. They are. But it's perfect. She is so sweet and just cares about him. And through all of their struggles, like, she always made sure to pay attention to him.
Yeah.
When nobody else would. And it's just like, it's so cute. And Toru's just one of the sweetest characters. And I feel like I don't really match with a lot of shoujo girls typically, because they're very soft and they're just like hyper feminine. And she is both those things, but she's also the type of person to have like really different friends.
Mm-hmm.
She is a klutz. She just tries her best. And I just feel like she and I would be friends in real life, or if I was to be any type of shoujo character.
Yeah.
It'd be like her.
Because I do remember, because she was like very, that was one of the, I didn't think Toru was a bad character. First it kind of took me a second to kind of like really latch on to her, because there at one point she was like living in a tent in the woods, and I was
my girl, poor baby.
Get it together. What are we doing?
Well, do you remember why? So
did she get kicked out of her house or something? Or did she have bad family life or something?
It was always her and her mom, and her mom passes away of, I think, cancer or some disease.
Yeah.
And she can't afford the house anymore.
Yeah.
And because her mom was a gang leader, she was rejected by her whole family. So Toru's never been close to the family because she mm-hmm. only ever had her mom. And that's how the Somas, which is the Zodiac family, end up finding her. Because there's an avalanche, or not an avalanche, a rock slide, and it crushes her tent. Mm-hmm. And I shouldn't be laughing while I say that, but it's like, it's very, it's just insane and wild that they would have this girl living in a tent in the woods. But yeah, I truly think it's such a sweet anime, and Kyo is perfect. I love a tsundere man in theory. Not in practice.
Right.
And I love an angsty man. But they are so sweet. And I knew I was going to have to put them on the list because there was no way.
Yeah, but it's not like he's mean to her per se. It's just he's just angry at the world. So he kind of like, obviously the whole thing is just like Toru basically like starts to crack his shell a little bit.
Exactly.
And break the exterior.
He is mean to her on occasion. By accident, because he's like lashing out and she just happens to get it. But the thing about him and why he's written well is that he catches that immediately. And even if he can't talk through how he's feeling or why, he makes it very known that he's sorry and always finds a way to just be better for her and for himself. So it's not like one of those characters where it's like, well, I was mean to you, and at the end of the day, like, you just have to put up with it because I'm the main boy. That's not how it is. And they all – a lot of – it's beautiful male friendships, and they all kind of keep each other in line over there. So so good. I feel like I need to rewatch it. I own the original on DVD.
Really?
Yes.
I'll add it to my list of shows. I'll add it to my list for sure. Here's another show. Speaking of shows to add to the list, here's another one for you.
Perfect.
And this show, I think Zoe might have said it as well. Like this, I'm not going to make a crazy claim, but this show in particular, I think if you were to watch it all the way through, would be one of your favorites ever.
Okay.
And it is, and the couple I'm talking about is Kaguya and Miyuki from Kaguya-sama Love is War.
Oh, I started watching that one. Okay, so Andre made me start watching that one, and I can see how they would be a very good couple. I don't like the art.
You don't like the art?
I don't like it.
Oh, that's crazy, actually.
Let me just make sure that it's a blonde boy and a black dark-haired girl
with red eyes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't like the art?
No.
Why?
I do not. I don't know. I don't like his tired eyes. I don't like all their hair is so thin, like the volume is gone. The face, like their face shapes are not my favorite. So I watched a few episodes with Andre. And I'm like, I like the content. I think that it's funny, especially because they're middle schoolers and it's very silly, goofy time. And I know eventually I'll like it because sometimes it just takes me a while to get used to something and then like it.
Mm-hmm.
But those first ones, I was like,
mm.
this is going to take me a hot minute. It took me, I think 2 or 3 years to actually start watching Adventure Time because I hated the way that Jake's eyes looked so much. And then once I started watching it and once I became used to it, I'm like, this is a repeat show for the rest of my life. And I've seen it in its entirety 5 times. So sometimes it just takes me a while. But yes. Why do you think they're such a good couple?
Because I think it's part of why they think they're a good couple is because of the gimmick of Love is War.
Yeah.
It is. There's so many layers to the gimmick. It's not just like, oh, I'm trying to get this person to like me. Vice versa, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm super rich. You're super rich. Our families are all elite, and we can't be seen as weak in front of other rich elites. Yeah. So. And I don't think that, and love is part of that vulnerability and weakness. And so I have to find a way through sheer, like, fucking Death Note level, Death Note level mental gymnastics to get you
to confess
that you like me. Or not even, that's not even the premise of the entire thing. It's like, it builds to that.
Yeah.
But it's like small things, like getting Miyuki, like Kaguya trying to get Miyuki to invite her on a date, or
I saw up to that episode.
Yeah, like just like stuff like that, or like Kaguya getting really, really anxious and mad because Miyuki texted her. So there are these things called like read receipts, and they show like what time you read somebody's message. I've noticed that when I text you, the timestamp is immediately after I sent it, but you never reply.
That's just anxiety. I hate when red receipts came out. I love it and I hate it because I like to know that someone's read my stuff, but I have it turned off for me because I have ADHD, I either read it immediately and respond immediately because it's in the moment, or I read it and I'll go, I'll respond later, and then I never do. For like 2 weeks. Unfortunately, there's no in between. So when I see a notification, I have to answer it. And I hate people knowing that I'm looking.
Yeah. I've not had those on since like high school. I turned those off.
That's a no for me.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, Miyuki trying to like get Kaguya to, I can't even remember what it was. Like, has something to do with like buying or making him lunch or something like that. Or,
yeah.
Like sharing lunch or something like that with each other, or just like small stuff. It's like, and it goes into this really funny, like Death Note level of like intro, like into the mind psyche of these characters. Like, oh, if I do this, then he'll do that. And then if I do this, then she'll do this. And then I can.
One big game of chess.
It's a foolproof plan. And it usually never works out the way either of them want. And it's. And honestly, by the end of the story, they do become a couple. And so that's why I do have them as this, because in the first couple seasons, they're obviously not. Like, that's just good. That's the end game couple.
Yeah.
And as of the anime's airing, they're not an actual couple. But, like, I kind of just, not necessarily put them a spoiler.
Yeah.
But I just think that they're such, that the gimmick is what feeds into why I think they're such a great couple. Because they're so... Yeah. I think it's funny to see the facade kind of like see through the facade. Like they're both like when you see them amongst other students, like they're walking through the hallways, very pristine and very like stoic looking and always on their, utmost behavior.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they get through those doors into that student council office, they just become goofballs.
Yeah.
And they show vulnerability and they have this really like quirky awkwardness about them when it comes to something like love, because they literally have everything else they could ever want. Like money, smarts. Well, Miyuki, he's not really athletic, but you know, saying it is what it is. Yeah. Kaguya is really athletic. They have everything they ever need except for an understanding of love. And I think that's the cool thing about the show. I think there's so many layers to that gimmick.
Cute.
Where it never gets old, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I definitely got to continue it because it's, I know I just have to push through.
Have you met Chica yet?
The pink-haired girl.
Yes.
Yeah, she's great.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're good on that. Because Chica, I don't know.
We might not have to be on this podcast anymore. no, not that, please. No, she's great. It's literally just the art style that I got to get past. I think it's very funny. And because they're middle schoolers, it's so... They wrote the show very well because they feel like middle schoolers, even though they're operating on a way different level because I didn't have them. I still don't have that type of money.
Right.
And I don't, and you know, I've never been that smart. They're still just kids making up plans so that they don't have to be vulnerable to like tell the boy or girl that they like them. Like that's very, like it's very endearing.
Yes.
My computer wants to do an update. Not right now. We're almost done. So I've saved the most complicated for last because last week I was very adamant that I hate the trope of my soul has been reincarnated and now it's in somebody else and we're in love. I know I said I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
But to be human means that you can do both and you can like both and whatever, and I'm sticking to that. Because one of my favorite manga / anime of all time is Kamisama Kiss. And the two main characters are a familiar named Tomoe and a human girl named Nanami. And Tomoe is perfect and hot and beautiful and everything gorgeous in every way. He is a fox demon. And he has the little ears and he has white hair that gets longer or shorter depending on what form he's in.
Say this back to me or look it up. What is it called?
Yeah, it's called Kamisama Kiss. Kamisama Kiss.
Okay. Oh, I have seen this. I've seen this before. Or not like have seen it, but like I haven't watched it. I've seen it.
Yes. He's perfect and hot and sexy and gorgeous and whatever. Oh, it's fine.
Oh, my God. When did this come out?
I don't know.
Because I could just tell by looking at it, he was the it boy. Yes! The pointy chin epidemic. I don't understand what the fuck everybody had.
Everyone's chin is sharp. So the whole story is that there is a shrine that because the god of that shrine has left, eventually, so like in the lore, once a god is forgotten or has left, anything connected to it just kind of like fades away and gives up. It's kind of like,
Noragami.
Yes, exactly. Such a good one.
Yeah.
Should have put that down somewhere, but not yet. Yeah, it's very much the lore of like this god has to continue doing things in order for us to – for familiars to have this purpose, right? Because familiars live beyond their gods that they serve.
Right.
So Tomoe has been left behind at this shrine and Nanami ends up there and she basically is the stand-in god for the shrine. She's a human girl. No powers whatsoever, but she ends up having to like take this role. And in the beginning, Tomoe just cannot stand this girl. He is constantly making her clean. He treats her not very nice. But you can always tell it's like he just wants to make her like, he's like, oh, if you're going to be the god of this shrine, you need to be a proper lady. Like, what are you doing? Like, this used to belong to someone I care about. So you need to step it together. And what you find out is that the god of that shrine left because he wants to live his own life. He wants to explore the world. He's been around for so long. And he kind of orchestrates them being together. And he loves Tomoe very much. He wants Tomoe to be happy. And back in the day, in the feudal era, Tomoe had fallen in love with a human girl. That human girl dies. That human girl looks just like Nanami.
Oh, my God.
You know, whatever. But I love Nanami as a character. I think that she's great and she's silly and goofy. and doesn't take crap from Tomoe. And she doesn't actually get a crush on him until later in the anime and much later in the manga, which I like. It's not like from the get-go, it's like, oh, they're in love, they're a couple. No, she kind of builds that because she cares about him so much and doesn't – she realizes that he's been so sad and alone for so long that she's like, ah, he's kind of sweet and kind of nice and just kind of like needs somebody. It's so good.
Yeah.
And every single time I watch an anime, I will still scream as if it's the first time because that's the perfect man. He – 10 out of 10, man. I love his eyelashes and his long nails. And he's, and that's that.
And his pointy chin. And it,
no, and his pointy chin. And you know, you gotta take in the good with the bad.
Yeah. As we wrap up, I did say, I tried to look the year that that show came out. And it was 2012. Ooh. And mind you, I'll just say this before we depart. I don't like how retro everything from 2010 to 2018 looks. I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Retro in what way?
Like the it just looks like it's like everything's kind of grainy and kind of like it seems like it's from a very earlier point period of time that I don't want to admit was that early, you know?
Yeah, we're old. When I will watch a show and it, even at the beginning of One Piece, like the ratio is off and doesn't fit your TV, you realize you're like, wait a minute.
This came out in 1999.
This wasn't yesterday? What are you talking about? Like, it's crazy to think about. I'm like, oh, everything's wrong. Everything's shifted. I love that style. I love it's grainy and crunchy, and I love the art style from back then, pointy chins and all. It's very telling of its time. Mm-hmm. There are so many more couples that I wanted to say, I will say, for this particular episode. But because it's anime that are still live and it's only been revealed to me in the manga, I won't say them. But when they are out in the world, I will bring back this topic and pick, I'll say like a round two best couples, because there are quite a few that I want to talk about.
Yeah, for sure.
This has been
a
very fun, loving, sweet, cutie patootie episode.
Yes, and this is great. This is great. No arguing, no voice raising, no nothing.
No, just voice raising because I'm deaf.
I apologize to Zoe. This is not to say that we don't miss you on this podcast.
We do.
This is like me and Kayla's first time recording just the two of us. So we were very excited about it.
Yes. I mean, it's truly, it is very funny because obviously we're very real and authentic on this podcast. And the way that I interact with both you and Andre together is, it's not different from when I have you guys separately, but it is very funny that like you're both very similar but very different. Andre gets like very loud, very opinionated. He's got to like share his thoughts, and you're very much like, I see your point. I see your side. That is nice. And it's it's just nice to be around.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And have
both.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah, man. So next week or next time we come back, we will be all together talking about the worst or bad. Or bad ships or good ships? We're together.
It's both. Yeah, we're going to do the worst non-canon bad ships and the worst the best non-canon ships. Because there are so many out there that fans, like all of us, we have paired people together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wearing Fat Gum today, and I know he doesn't get anybody in the anime, but he's the perfect man. And that's why I needed to support him for best couples today. I'm like, he's my best couple. that's my non-canon ship, me and Fat Gum.
for next week.
And Gang Orca, but I'm not gonna keep going with that.
Yeah, we're gonna pause right there. We're gonna cut it off right there.
We're gonna cut it. I'm so mentally stable and have no problems, and that's the lesson. But yeah, I can't wait for next week. It's gonna be good. Yeah.
Well, all right then. I've been Taylor, aka Nostalgia. K likes everything. See you guys next time. Peace.
Bye.